Right. Discussing a little bit tonight, Parshas Bullock. As we mentioned in the past, that Bullock was one of the five people that have a parsha named after him. As mentioned before, Rabbi Noach. Parsha Noah called Noah, and they are based on Noah. You have Yisro, Parsha Yisro, followed by Korah. You have Pinchas, and you have Bullock. And many commentaries discuss the point how come that Bullock was Zoicha, in the sense that he's remembered throughout the generations. Pushing through Moshiach, that Bullock, Parshas Bullock, Shabbos of Bullock, and so forth. Person that was a Rosh that wanted to destroy the Jewish people in that particular sense. By Noach, we can understand, as I spoke in the past, and by Yisroel, even by Korach, points are brought out that Korach was basically a tzaddik originally. Tzaddik on top of Yisro, Korach, and showing that a tzaddik can also go astray if he's not careful. But the concept is that he still had the schusim, Shmuel Hanavi came from him, and so forth. The question of Bullock, not even a Jew, and so forth, and out to destroy the Jewish people, wanted to call Bullock. But before I go to that point. It's interesting to note the very first pasuk that it says, "Vayar Bullock ben Tzipor, Bullock son of Tzipor, Asher Hashem also Yisrael lo Amori." All that the Jewish people did to their Amori. Who was their Amori? Sichah de'Amori. Now we know that the parsha of Bullock is immediately connected to the parsha of Chukas. Followed by the Muhammad Taqid that the Jewish people waged against Sichah Melech HaMoiri. However, there was also Og Melech HaBoshan. And Og Melech HaBoshan was even stronger than the HaMoiri. How is it that the Pasuk only mentions Sichah Melech HaMoiri, Asher Asa HaMoiri, and not to Og Melech HaBoshan? Why is that? Why is he left out? Commentaries discuss this particular point in the question. What is the basis over here for that? What does it tell us? I saw one parish that says, one parish that wants to say, I once saw that that there's a difference in the Muhammad between Emoiri and Boshan, Boshan. And he took him by the war. It states by Amori, it says Vayaku Yisrael. In the expression of the person Vayaku Yisrael, it's Amori. While by Og Melech HaBoshan, it does not mention that. By Og Melech HaBoshan, it says Vayaku Oisoi. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu himself was involved that killed Og Melech HaBoshan. But it says, Vayaku Oisoi. So they say that when it says Yisrael, that's the concept of Achdus. Like it says, that Yisrael, Tachas Ahor. And they mentioned the Mefarshim, wherever it says Yisrael, it means there was a unity, a unified force. But by Og Melech HaBoshan, it seems that he was taken by a segment of the Jewish people, and not by the whole Jewish people together as one unit. That's why it says, Vayaku Oisoi, they hit him, Vayaku Oisoi. That's briefly what they point out Therefore, Balak was more afraid of the Achdus of Israel. He was afraid they might come upon him like they came on the Amori, by Yaku Yisrael. And from Achdus, he knew that he couldn't, he stood no chance. When there's no Achdus, he was hoping that something would happen. But when Achdus is afraid, that was one of the pollution that I saw on the chart over here. I wanted to say, to see, to me, it seems that it's not such a difficult question, because I think the difference might be very clear. Because the approach was different. I would say that by Sicha Melech HaMoiri, it says that the Jewish people sent Shluchim to Sicha Melech HaMoiri to go through his land, they won't touch anything, etc., 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 etc. And they sort of went the Derech HaShoal. They wanted to go through, and he turned them down and went to Muhammad. But Og Melech HaBoshan doesn't say that. Og Melech HaBoshan says immediately that Og Melech HaBoshan took his army and started to fight with Klal Yisrael. There was no provocation, there was no indication Jewish people wanted to do anything or talk to him or whatever, nothing. Just said, okay, came. Now, over here, he knew Balak that he's not going to do that. He's not going to be an Og Melech HaBoshan. And he knew he was not going to start off with the Jewish people. Og Melech HaMoshe felt that he had the power. In fact, as the Chazal bring, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of him. He had a skus of Sarah that he sent Avraham that time and saved Lot, and so forth. And Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that maybe that skus will be Megan. Moshe told him, no, it's till now, and now you could destroy him. And so we see that Og Melech HaMoshe went on a sense of his vanity, of his seemingly greatness and so forth. He went out to destroy the Jews. Now, and Balak had no intent of even doing that. Therefore, what he was afraid of, that he might be approached by the Jewish people, and therefore ask in a certain way, and he would have to either give in or what, or fight with them. That was what he was afraid of. They'd have to come to a sort of a confrontation based on what they would come to him, even with Derech Sholem. That's what he didn't want, that he was afraid of. But he didn't bother Og Melech HaBoshan because he knew he's not going to go out to fight the Jews all the matter. He's not going to do that. So I really can't understand the depth of the question at that particular point, why it's such a difficult question. But the point over here is that we see by Balak that even though Balak turned animosity for Jewish people and hatred and so forth, as Chazal bring even more than Bilam, either because of the fear, whatever he had, but still, he invoked the power of the Rabbi Shalom to help him. When he asked Bilam to curse the Jewish people, but he brought Karbonos, to the Rabbi Shalom. And in fact, as the Baal HaTurim brings over there, an interesting point, that he brought 14 Karbonos. Why 14? He said, Jews always brought seven, I bring 14, brought after twice the amount in that sense. And it was connected to business with Noach, so forth. And he wanted that, and that schus, even though to bring Karbonos to the Baal Shem to destroy the Jewish people, it's a misconstrued sense of this whole attitude, the whole idea and thought is it has no value and so forth. Shemayim, but at the same time he brought Karbonos, and the plug by us is that whenever a person does something good, even if it's a Shalom Shem Shemayim, even if it's not with a proper intent, so to speak, proper concentration or kavanah and purpose in that sense, but the Maisa HaToiv was done. A certain good was done, and that has to be repaid. and has to be repaid. And true, as a Rosh, a Bullock, he was not paid by his lifetime. But as the Chazal bring in Sechta Saita, the 42 Korbanos, three times he brought, 3 times 14, 42 Korbanos he brought. And because of these Korbanos, the Chazal say he was Zoicha, that Yossi Menu Rus comes from Bullock. The great great grandchild of Bullock from Yagwa Melech Moyav and so forth. If all came out, Dovid, Shleima, Moshiach, Shiach ben Dovid. But we see that from a mitzvah, a so-called good deed, activity of bringing a korban to the Bnei Shalom, even with a, what you call, a negative purpose and so forth. And the actual, against the actual value and meaning of a korban, is zoche to such a praise? So, kal v'chomer, how much more for the ori, how much more it is, would be if a person does a mitzvah l'shem shemayim. Mida toivim, meruba, mida kaporonius, 500 times, you know, that how much more the value that a person does something good l'shem shemayim, how much shkar he's zoche to that as the goya brings. For every word that he says, for everything that he does, the shkar is there. And that's the pshat by Bullock, why he was zoicha to a parsha in the Torah and tells us these particular points. First of all, that particular point, I would say, is that the person that does something, like we say, yesh kone elomai b'shor achas, person could be many times a rosha his whole life, and kind of b'shor achas, one moment of activity that he did, a certain thing that was mamash natzol nech v'shecha b'Yisrael, and so forth. The Gemara brings over there the Rebbe Shabrocha, but he heard that there Rebbe's kind of Elam B'Shoachas, he's kind of Elam Haba and so forth. He was kind of a partial Elam Vod for one thing that he did and so forth. We see that from here. When there was a Rosh Hashanah, and even at that particular time, he didn't mean it sincerely in that sense for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, and yet it was like that every we say. Parshas Bullock, Shabbos Bullock, so forth, that particular point. That's the Bullock. So nothing remains unpaid. As he says in Pirkei Avos, that the point that many times that the Skusim of Tzadikim and so forth, and the reward is the Olam Habo, not the Olam Hazeh, the Olam Habo, but the reward is there. And he was for Bullock was also Elam Abo. His name remained later on, and with his generation that came from him, as in the Tziv brings, that doesn't mean that when a person says, when the Tziv says it, even it says this a point that even in the case where he says Toshelo Lishma Bo Lishma, that a person should always learn Shelo Lishma. Because even Shalom Lishma ultimately become Lishma. So, of course, you learn Pshat, that it means that I'm learning Torah with an ulterior motive to become a rabbi or to make money or to get covered or commissions, etc. But ultimately, I'll come out great. And it says, no, that's not the real Pshat, he says. He said, the Pshat is that it could be this person who learned Torah Shalom Lishma his whole life. His whole life would be Shalom Lishma. What's to be Torah Shema Lishma? But ultimately, generations will come to Shema. It'll come out an Einikol, an Ur Einikol, who sit in the Kailu Shem Shemai. That's what Pshat the Mitziv says. And Torah Shema Lishma, Shema Lishma doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen at that particular moment or at that particular time or through his own lifetime. He said, like we see by Bullock, that is not the Pshat that happens at that particular moment. It could happen generations later, but the roots have been planted and so forth, and that's what's going to grow out. From a mitoch shelo lishma will ultimately grow a lishma, and that's why the Gemara says in Bava Basra, you never know a bad child and a good child. Be careful with the children; don't divorce them completely. Don't throw them away. You never know from a good deed that he does, or if it come out from his family that come out terrorists later, a tremendous lishmor. You don't know what's going to happen. And the same thing that it says it by, he also says it by the by where it says that when a tzaddik leaves this world, Zohar Hashem is a Zohar Hashem. But he more brings in Kiddushin in various places. Now, when this Tana died, Tana was born. They're born. So, then it says it doesn't mean he says, Dafke, that when this Godel goes away, this Tzaddik goes away, there's automatically the other Tzaddik comes. He says it could be a Tzaddik is born, but he's not there yet. We learned it from, we learned, where do we learn it from? He says, from Chayisora. But it says over there that when Mesa Sora, so the Chazal bring over there, the Medrash and the Gemara, that when Mesa Sora, know the Rivka. And the Medrash says over there, Vah Shemesh, and Zorach HaShemesh. While the Rivka was born, she wasn't Rivka yet. She first became Rivka Tzedekis later on. But the Shoyrish was there, the root, that's what he's saying. Which means the root of a new tzaddik is there. It doesn't really mean that the tzaddik is immediately there. When a yeshiva, Godel HaDor goes away from the world, there's another Godel HaDor that's coming up. It might be 5 years, 10 years later, but that Godel was planted already at that moment, and he's coming up into the world. He said, that's the Pshat. And that's the Turks, Shmo, Shmo. And that's the Mice with Bullock and so forth. And that's a lesson that we take from here. That a certain, what you call a remuneration, a reward of generations later, really goes back to an original possible Rosha that created a root for that and a certain good deeds that he performed in his lifetime, or in the sense of a Rosh Shoachas Mamash that he was Mekayim, and that planted a certain goodness in the world that came up later on. Like over here by Moshiach Tzidkenu, coming out from an act that Moloch actually implanted and came out many, many years later. That's an interesting point, I think, that we see from here by our Moloch, and that's Parshas Moloch. So when a person thinks of Parshas Moloch, he doesn't think of Moloch himself, but what it teaches us, what it represents to us. Like I brought out, I'm not going to go into it now. Did that many years, a few years ago, like by Noah and Yisro, it's what it teaches us. That their name mentioned over there teaches us something, a lesson. And this is the lesson over here that we have that comes out from the Parshas Bola. And that's what's taught by Yah Bola Metzibor. And I said further, could be that in the very act that Bola did. I want to extend the point that I'm discussing and expanding upon. I once said that could be that from the very act that Bullock did was is Ben HaShemayim, is Merumas over there, what's going to come out from that because of the Korbanos that he brought. Why? He definitely brought 14 Korbanos. And normally he wouldn't bring that much. What's 14? I said 14 in the gematria Dovid. Dalet Vov Dalet. When came a Dovid HaMelech, which ultimately came Moshiach. When Rus came Dovid, the Lord came to Moshiach ben Dovid. So there's a remez in the actual act that he did, I said, that brings out that particular point. And three times it says, three times Dovid. And we say later, it says over there by the third time, when he wanted to curse the Jewish people, he blessed them again. Dorach Kochav mi Yaakov. What is a Kochav? A star that came out from Yaakov. The word Kochav could be written Chav Chav Veiz without the Vav, Chosa, or with the Vav Mole. Without the Vav, it makes 42. Kochav 42 without the Vav is 3 times 14, 3 times Dovid HaMelech is Zorach Kochav mi Yaakov. That star came out, and when that star came out, Mashiach the Dovid. The act of what Bullock perpetrated and so forth, that he wanted to curse the Jewish people, but came out of Brooklyn. And that's the fort that we see from here, Rayal Bola Principe. And he saw that with the Jewish people, and that was what he was actually afraid of. discussing that they had, discussing that they vanquished the nations and that they might approach him. And he was afraid, and what could he answer to that? And he knew he could vanquish them, he could conquer the Jews, and he was afraid of that. That's why he not mentioned HaMelech HaBoshet, I said, because he was not afraid, because he was not going to go out to start a war with them. He started the war. You see? You look at the past parsha, you'll see the difference between the two of them. So my point is that there's no question really why it says Dafke Amori here and HaMelech HaBoshet is talking about mentioned. And it's also another point in this regard, to mention the last point, is that when they came to Bilam, Bilam said, Linu poi, stay overnight, and I'll find out what the Bible says and so forth. So it says that the leaders of Moav remained overnight, but Rashi brings the Chazal, where was Midian? He went back home. He said, not going to be anything. My grandfather always used to say every time, he says, you see from there an interesting thing, he says, when you come to a person, many times a person want to get stuck and so forth, said, well, I haven't got a checkbook now, said to touch it, come later, see me then, I'll speak to you, I'll let you know. He says, he used to say, Linu poi. Expression that Bilam said, "Linu poi, stay overnight," is verta floi, meaning like a fly. It's nothing. When they Midian knew right away, Bilam was a novi. Bilam was a madrege of the sense a certain element of Moshe Rabbeinu, not in the totality of nevius, but the concept of what he yedea das elyon. And if he had to say Linu poi, by them it's not. He couldn't say right away, I'm coming, I'm going, then forget about it. They said it's not gonna go. Taki didn't go. He's not gonna succeed, he's not gonna curse. Linu poi, he said verta floi. When a person starts giving excuses and this and that, and come, and see, you know, he's not gonna do what he's supposed to do. Maybe he'll end up with something, but you won't do what he's supposed to do. He says, learn from that. He says, you want to do something? He says, people come to you for a favor, do it. You want to do it? Do it. That's what you do the favor. If you can't do it, say, I can't do it. Don't procrastinate and so forth. Many people that try to get you that you shouldn't bother him, that you should turn away. Yeah, hey, and they're hoping that he won't come back and he won't tell you, et cetera, et cetera. Be honest, he says. Everybody, Pete Lunu, poi, is where the floor, he says. That means it's nothing worth nothing. That concept is here over here by the concept of Moav and the Indian of Midian and Moav in that particular sense. And Balak was really afraid, and when he spoke to Bilam, why he didn't come, etc., etc., Balak was talking afraid of that in the sense that Bilam was also afraid of the Jewish people in that particular sense. He was also afraid. And Bilam Taki didn't want to go. Bilam said, the Moshe told me not to go. Even though he wanted to go, as Rashi brings the Chazal. He wanted to go. As soon as the Moshe told him, well, go with them, he ran right away. And the Moshe was angry why he went. I, the Moshe told him to go. So the answer is, they asked that question, talking. Well, the Goyim talks on that. Well, and when the second time, Moshe said, okay, they told you to go, okay, go with them. But I'll tell you to say, you say, and so forth. And then the Pasuk says later, when he went with them, Moshe was angry why he went. So Moshe told him to go. So the Goyim says a very beautiful pshat. Because the Moshe and lost in the Pasuk says over there, Lech itam, go with them. When it says by Bilam, when he went with them, it says, Vayelech imam Bilam, he went in. And the Goyim said the difference between itam and imam is a different thing. You go with a person, people could be walking in the same direction, going to the same place, but they're two different ideas in their mind. They're walking together, but they're not one in their machshava, their thought, their purpose, their aim, their goal is different. When you say imoy, the expression the Goyim says, he was an expert in digduk. When he used the word imoy, it means I'm with you completely. Not we're walking together to the same place, but with the same idea, the same goal, same purpose, the same aim. That's imoy. So Moshe says, Leich itom. And when he saw, he went with them. That he's going with them. Because he Bilam thought that once he got the permission to go already, okay, I'll talk to the Moshe tomorrow. I'll get him to agree already. As if to say, you can write it and I'll talk and I'll get my way. And he talked, he wanted a curse in that sense. But we see the pshat over here, that person, you have to understand the concept over here, that approach in that particular sense, that was Balak was afraid of that Kali saw, and the concept of Kali saw in that sense. But we see from here, Taka, that from the lowest of the lowest, sometimes you come out the greatest of the greatest. Generations later, from what a person sets up a certain root and a basic and a foundation to come out the good. And that's pshat, tershlo lishmo, and the Yitzchak says, ultimately, a lishmo will come out from an act that was performed, which was a good deed, even without with an ulterior motive, even without a good purpose, and not done properly, but a good deed, it will be paid back. This generation, next generation, it'll be paid back. And that's what we learn, that we call every Shabbos, Parshas Bola, Shabbos Bola. Continue, Mr. Shem, Wednesday. Question that